Raleen Mark, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Shavua Tov, I'm good. And you, I tell you, we have kicked off this Shavua running here in Israel.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when I look at the topics that you and I wanted to talk about, it's almost impossible. We need like 3 hours to get through them.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we should have an extended remixed version of the Israel report. And that way we might get through half of the subjects we want to cover. But yes, a big news day to start the week off. And it's just how we like it.
Absolutely. Can we just start off and chat about Abbas's speech last night? Because my reading of it is that the guy seems to have lost his mind a little bit. Is it rude to say that?
Well, first of all, a hearty mazal tov to President Abbas on his 13th year of his 4-year term. I think he's really setting a new precedent.
Mm-hmm.
But really, comments in his speech last night have been beyond the pale. In fact, our own president, Reuven Rivlin, weighing in on Twitter, saying that some of the comments that Abbas made in his speech have actually taken us right back in terms of years, in terms of negotiation. And he even said that this is why you can see that Abbas wrote his thesis on Holocaust denial. So very, very unusually strong words coming from President Rivlin. But basically, Abbas has blamed, Israel has blamed the U.S., the Trump administration, and has blamed everybody else for his failures, for the shortcomings of his administration, and for his failure to come to the negotiating table. Of course, nothing is his fault, Harlan.
Well, what's interesting to me is you and I spoke about this last week, and we said one gets the sense that the Palestinian Authority, in particular Abbas, is becoming more and more desperate as certainly President Trump and Netanyahu together are curtailing a lot of his behavior, a lot of his speech, a lot of the fact that he's been called out for supporting terror, and he doesn't quite seem to know where to go, and he's it's almost as though he's lashing out in all directions and waiting to see what the story will be.
Well, you're absolutely right, and he doesn't seem to draw a correlation between posts on the official Fatah website that condone last week's terror attack that killed Rabbi Raziel Shazak, who was a father of six. He doesn't seem to see the correlation in celebrating that and the fact that Israel, the United States, and other administrations around the world are now saying, you know what, they must speak, enough is enough. We need to see a commitment from you in order to negotiate peace. And he refuses to budge and come to the table.
One of the interesting things...
Having said this, we've also seen a breakdown between the Hamas and Fatah unity government, and you and I could have bet on it to see how long that would have lasted.
Absolutely.
I think The Bachelor has had dates longer than that on his reality show, but this is a situation where we find ourselves in at the moment.
One of the things that he did say was he acknowledged that he was offered Abu Dis as a future capital. First of all, how do you pronounce it? Where is it? And tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, Abu Dis is just outside of Jerusalem, and he won't say who offered him, whether it was the Trump administration, whether it was Israel. But what he did reiterate is that he doesn't have to listen to anybody. He can say no to anybody, and that there is no way he will be complying with any of the parameters or with any of the negotiating terms as put out by the Trump peace plan.
Well, in fact, the Palestinian Authority has done exactly that. Time after time, they have rejected peace. He wouldn't be the, it won't be the first time.
And I'm sure that he won't be the last. But we have seen this this repeated pattern, and he's actually losing, he doesn't realize it, but he's actually losing more and more credibility in the international arena because he is behaving like a spoiled toddler who now has to throw his toys.
And on that note, there does seem to be a compromise with Trump and the support of financial support of the UNRWA schools, of UNRWA, I mean.
Well, Trump hasn't cut the whole $125 million budget, but what he is going to do is he's going to cut it by more than half, from $125 million to $60 million a year. That is a substantial a budget cut. And this is only really so that some of the schools can and hospitals can continue providing services for the Palestinian people. But it seems that even though President Trump seems to put his foot in his mouth a lot of the time, he also does seem to put his money where his mouth is. Mm. And he is saying that if you do not start to change your ways, if you do not start to show true overtures towards peace, and if UNRWA and other United Nations agencies don't start to change their vehemently anti-Israel, and in fact we can call it anti-Semitic tracks, mm-hmm. he is going to cut more and more and more of the budget of which the United Nations is very, very dependent on. And one of the big concerns is the education of incitement, of hatred that takes place within the UNRWA schools. And as you so eloquently put it last week, you're confused as to what the UNRWA schools actually do besides provide a convenient depot to stash and to launch weapons, to use children with human shields, etc.
We also see reading a lot about the bromance, the big bromance, and that's of course between Bibi and his Indian counterpart. Bibi has just left for a trip to India. Tell us a little bit about this trip.
Well, I tell you, if it wasn't sunset strolls on the beach in Tel Aviv and joint yoga sessions, which I'm still trying to unsee, it's a case of Namaste Shalom, as Prime Minister Netanyahu was very, very warmly welcomed to India earlier this week. Now, breaking with protocol, President Modi met Netanyahu and his entourage personally at the airport, and he has only done this with two dignitaries. One was President Obama from the United States, and the one was a delegation from China. So this is breaking with protocol, and as we discussed last week, Prime Minister Netanyahu is in India with a very, very large delegation of people from the defense industry, from technology, from business, all there to increase trade and defense ties with India, who's really, really becoming one of Israel's greatest allies, Israel's greatest friends, both at the UN notwithstanding. So we've even seen promotional videos from the people of India all over social media welcoming Prime Minister Netanyahu. And last night in a speech to the Minister of External Affairs, which is the equivalent of a foreign minister, Netanyahu warned that Hamas, Islamic Jihad, have been put on blast, quite literally, because we did blow up more tunnels that we discovered yesterday. And as our General Yoav Mordechai, who's head of the COGAT unit that controls what goes on in Gaza and the territory, as he also said, that just as we have an iron dome for the skies, we have an iron dome for beneath the ground. And if Hamas and Islamic Jihad and their cohorts continue to tunnel, we will continue to blast them.
I saw some footage and some photos of these. These aren't just tunnels. These are almost underground highways. It's an incredibly sophisticated tunnel, this.
And it begs the question, if you can build an incredibly sophisticated tunnel underground that looks like a highway, why can't you use that funding to ensure that the people under your care, your civilians, your citizens, live a life that they deserve, that they have adequate food, that they have adequate electricity, that they have complete homes and schools and hospital and all that needs providing. And you know, maybe this is a question that we should keep pushing.
I think so, because
Hamas and the Palestinian leadership.
It's very clear that there's almost a deliberate intention not to join the dots, because you can't really see this, and you can't see the type of funds and the money that's gone into developing these sophisticated terror tunnels and not ask the question. If you don't ask the question, you choose not to ask the question.
I think that you've hit the nail on the head. Mm. That people choose not to ask the question. It's very, very convenient to blame the scapegoat, Israel. Israel's withholding funds, Israel's doing this, Israel's doing that. But we can see we've got the physical proof of just where
and that funds are flowing. They just flow
international
to the right
funds goes.
Absolutely. Finally, Rolene, before I let you go, can we just talk about the famous Yair Netanyahu recording? We spoke about these tapes last week. I believe that police are investigating the legality of the recordings.
Well, let's just start off by saying that if anybody has been ethically grounded this week and punished, it's Yair Netanyahu, who was not allowed to come to India with the rest of the family. But the tapes have been handed over.
Can you imagine the conversation that happened there? Wow. Wow.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall.
Absolutely.
I think even the family dog opted to go to India to escape the vibes in the room.
Yeah, he's not allowed out until 2021, I believe.
Exactly. He has an epic grounding. So mm-hmm. parents, learn by example here. So the tapes have been handed over to a private security firm called Modi in Israel, which is basically a citizen information, and these tapes will be investigated to see whether or not they were leaked and used by the media within the legal parameters. And this is following a report filed to the police that these tapes could indeed have been obtained illegally.
Absolutely fascinating. And unfortunately, Rolene Marks, although we have a lot more to talk about, there we are going to leave it. That is Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. And of course, that's brought to you by the Blue Agency.